He said, go into all the world and do all kinds of miracles and signs and wonders. No, that wasn't it either. I'll get it here in a minute. I think a third, they say, third time's a charm. Let's do it one more time. He goes into all the world and preach. How about to say, preach. Now, he didn't just say preach. He said, preach the gospel to every creature. Now, drop down there with me to verse number 20. And the Bible said, and they went. What did he say? Go. And it said, they went. What did he say to do? He said, preach. And the Bible said they preached everywhere. And then it said, the Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs following. Amen. I'm going to tell you, you already know what the devil feels most, don't you? We're getting ready to do a little of it right here. The devil fears preaching of the word. Amen. The Lord bless you, and you may be seated. The devil's not afraid of religion. There's over 1,200 at least religions in the United States alone. Religion doesn't bother him. As a matter of fact, he uses a whole bunch of it for his own purposes. He can use religion to send division and even deception into the world. The devil's not afraid of religion. I'm going to tell you something shocking tonight. The devil's not even afraid of miracles. Somebody said, oh, what the church needs today is more signs and wonders and miracles. Hey, I want to tell you something. That's not what brings revival. That's what revival brings. Amen. Hey, signs and wonders and miracles are not the cause of revival. They are the result of revival. Do you want to know what brings revival today? It's preaching of the word of the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Some folks want to get the cart before the horse. Amen. That doesn't work very well. I never have seen a cart pulling a horse. But I've seen horses pulling carts. Amen. We got to get the order right. Jesus said, these signs shall follow them. We got people today following signs. But the Bible said signs will follow believers. Amen. Jesus said, believe and you will see the glory of God. It's all about believing first. And the foundation of belief is hearing the word of the Lord. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. We got to get the order right here if it's going to work at all. Amen. Let me show you a little bit about why the devil doesn't fear signs. Amen. Matthew 24:24 said, for there shall arise false Christ and false prophets and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they should deceive the very elect. If you're looking for signs and wonders, be careful, because you could be deceived. How many of you sitting here tonight know somebody that received a great miracle from God, but they're not serving God tonight? Anybody know somebody like that? Huh? I think we all do. Amen. I know people that I never thought would get out of a hospital bed, but God answered prayer and they got up. Amen. But they're not serving the Lord today. Amen. Signs and wonders don't make the devil fear. He's got trophies all around this world that God healed. Amen. The Bible talked about people that said, that cried out, Son of God, have mercy on me. And then a few days later, they were saying, crucify him. Isn't that right? Amen. Israel. So you talk about signs and wonders. How much more could you see than what they saw? Amen. Eating miracle bread every day. Drinking water from a rock in the wilderness that God provided. Amen. All the miracles he did to get them out of Egypt. The dividing of the Red Sea. The cloud in the sky by day and the fire by night. And his voice speaking to them from Mount Horeb. How much more could they see? But did that help? Did that cause them to serve the Lord? No. The Bible said when it came time to go into the promised land, they forgot all the signs and wonders. They murmured and they complained against God. The devil's not afraid of signs and wonders. Hey, I like miracles as much as the next fella. I'd like to see more. Thank God we're seeing some every day. Amen. We see lots of miracles around here. And I'm very appreciative of what the Lord is doing. But the devil doesn't fear miracles or signs or wonders. Yeah, that's not what shakes him. That's not what rattles him. That's not what he fears. Jesus fed three people. He fed 5,000 men. Plus their families with just a couple of fish and a few biscuits. But did they follow him? Not very long. When he got to talking about things that mattered, they left. The Bible said, and the multitude walked away. And Jesus turned to his disciples and said, will ye also go away? You know what Peter said? Listen closely. He didn't say, well, Lord, you have such a wonderful religion. No, he didn't say that. He didn't say, oh, all these signs and wonders you do. He didn't say that. He said, where could we go? Thou alone hast the word of life. You see, Peter didn't fall in love with miracles. He fell in love with the Word of God. And that's what made him a powerhouse. And that's what made him an apostle. And that's what made him the strong and stalwart pillar in the church of the living God. Amen. I know a lot of people. I've met folks chasing miracles. Amen. Praise God. You don't chase them. They ought to be following you. Woo! Hallelujah. Yeah, that's the way the Bible said it. The order that it's got to be. Amen. Well, let's look at the early church and let's just see a little bit about what they did. The Bible said that after the day of Pentecost, boy, that's having church. Amen. Peter and John was on the way to church at the hour of prayer. Hey, they hadn't even had a prayer meeting yet. They were just going to a prayer meeting. And they were so prayed up and fired up, they stopped at a man begging for some money at the gate. And they reached down and Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Hallelujah. And the Bible said he went leaping, praising God, into the temple. And everybody, whoa, there was a stir going on. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. And every time they got a crowd like that, you know what they did? They preached. Hallelujah. Amen. They preached. I like preaching. Anybody here like preaching tonight? Amen. I think we ought to preach every chance we get. And if we can't get a chance, we ought to make one. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Brother Tindall said you ought to preach every day. And every now and then you ought to say something. Just think on it and you'll get it in a minute. What he's saying is, your life ought to preach every day. When you get on your job, your witness ought to preach every day. Amen. The glow of the Holy Ghost and the peace and the joy and the righteousness of the Spirit of God ought to preach out of you everywhere that you go. It ought to preach in your house. It ought to preach on your job. It ought to preach in the school. It ought to preach in the marketplace. It ought to preach everywhere you go. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, the devil hates preaching. Man got healed. They started preaching. People got saved. That's what happened all through the book of Acts. Now, they didn't know how to handle this. So the same bunch that crucified Jesus, cornered Peter and John, got them, brought them before the council, Acts chapter 4, verse 16, and they said, "What shall we do with these men?" I think that question ought to be asked more. Praise God. I think folks that ask it in Athens ought to be asking, "What are we going to do with that bunch of people over there?" Amen. We can't seem to shut them up. You see them all over the place. Everywhere they go, they make people nervous. Amen. Praise God. Not because you're mean-spirited. Not because you act ugly and have a bad attitude. But you just exude the Spirit of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. And so they said, "What are we going to do?" Now, they said, "For indeed, a notable miracle hath been done by them, is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem." We can't deny it. They said, "We'd lie if we can get away with it, but we can't lie because everybody knows the truth now." Don't you love government? "But that it spread no further among the people." Here it is. Listen. "Let us straightly threaten them, and speak that they speak henceforth no more in this name." Now they called it speaking. We call it preaching. "And they called them," listen, "and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus." What were they saying? They didn't say anything about miracles or religion. They said, "Just don't preach anymore. Whatever you do, quit preaching." And you know what Peter said? Verse number 20. He said, "For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." Do you know what you preach? What you've seen and heard. That's all you can preach. If you ain't seen it and you ain't heard it, you can't preach it. You can only preach what you've seen and heard. And they said, "That's all we can do, man." Hallelujah. And I want to look on down a little further, verse number 29. They went to a prayer meeting. Folks were praying for them to get out of prison. Sure enough, they did. And it said, now listen, and now there's the prayer. "Now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word." You see what they're praying for? They said, "God, help us to preach more boldly. Help us to preach more freely. Help us to preach more powerfully than we've ever preached before." They had it right. Now listen, The next verse said, by stretching forth thy hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. Now listen, they had it right. They said, we're going to preach it, and then we want you to back us up. Amen. I want to tell you something. More churches could have the Holy Ghost if more pastors would preach the Holy Ghost. And the church in Athens, Texas could be full of the Holy Ghost tonight if pastors would preach the Holy Ghost. Everybody in Athens, Texas could have healings if pastors would preach healing. And the church in Athens could have a holiness revival if they'd preach holiness. Praise God, you get what you preach. God honors what you preach. They said, help us to preach it, Lord, and then you back us up. Amen. I think this is what we need to do, you understand. Don't pray for more signs and miracles. Pray, God, anoint the preaching. 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 Amen. Because if the Word gets to working in our midst, God will do the rest. Amen. Oh, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and spake the Word of God with boldness. When you get full of the Holy Ghost, it'll take the chicken out of you. Amen. God will take the spaghetti out of your spine, and He'll put in steel. He'll make you stand. I know what it's like to preach under the anointing and say things and go home and say, my goodness, why did I say that? Amen. I could get in big trouble for saying stuff like that. Amen. But when you get the Holy Ghost flowing, boy, you get so bold. Amen. Praise the Lord, yes. Amen. Praise God. Brother Urshan was preaching in a place. I remember him telling a story. While he was preaching, some rebels burst in the back door with their machine guns and started down the aisle. And he said the Holy Ghost came upon him, and he got so bold in the Holy Ghost, he just started rebuking them in Jesus' name. And they put down their rifles, and they received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hey, I'm telling you, I believe that some trouble is coming to America. But I want you to know tonight that anointing is coming to America. And God baptized us with boldness to speak Thy Word. That's what it's all about tonight, folks. We just got to preach the Word of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Don't pray for me to be PC. I never have been. I never will be. Amen. But I don't want to be offensive either. I said I don't want to be offensive either. I don't want to purposely offend anybody. I'm not mean-spirited. I'm not unkind. I don't ever want to hurt anybody's feelings for the sake of just being brash or unkind. But God, give me anointing. Amen. Hallelujah. So that I can speak truth with boldness and with passion. Hallelujah. I know people say you don't have to get that loud when you preach. Well, if you feel it and you believe it. Amen. Hey, I don't just write sermons. Amen. To preach sermons. Amen. But I want to be anointed of the Holy Ghost and preach the Word of the Lord. Amen. You know what happened in chapter 5? They got in trouble again. You know what they got in trouble for?
Preaching.
You got it. Preaching.
Right.
Amen. They were preaching. And they brought them back. Verse 5, chapter 5, verse 28. They said, did we not straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, listen, you have filled Jerusalem with your opinion.
That's not what it said.
Huh? With the issues of the day. That's not what it said. He said, you fill Jerusalem with your doctrine. You know what they were preaching? They were preaching doctrine. You know what I hear all the time from people? If churches just wouldn't preach doctrine. If you just wouldn't get all hung up on doctrine. You know what that early church preached? They preached doctrine. Hallelujah. I've heard people say, if we hadn't preached doctrine, we wouldn't have so many religions. You know what the Bible teaches? If we would have kept preaching the apostles' doctrine, we'd still all be preaching one doctrine. The reason we got more than one doctrine is that people are not preaching the apostles' doctrine. If everybody will get back to the book of Acts, we'll still have one doctrine. I got a feeling that we're coming to a time when churches are going to get back to the book of Acts and we're going to have one doctrine. I wish I would have remembered to bring the article. I'm not a fan of Time Magazine. Used to be a good magazine. But I was reading this issue last week and this week. And I was amazed. Something's going on. They were talking about the new pope that was elected and his impact and the issues going on with Catholicism. And one of the articles, and I thought it was very interesting, talking about South America, that from 1996 to 2010, the Pentecostal, and it said it, Pentecostal evangelism. I mean, it just called her name right out. Grew from about 3% of the population to 13% of the population. Amen. Praise God. Hey, I'm not taking anything from anybody. I'm Catholic. I'm not Roman Catholic, but I'm Catholic. The word Catholic simply means universal. And the church is universal. Amen. I'm just as universal as you can get. We've got missionaries in over 200 nations. I think like 207 or so nations. That's pretty universal, isn't it? And we're trying to get one in every country. At least one. That's universal. Hey, the church is universal. Amen. Let's don't get hung up on names. We're Baptist folk.
Yes, sir.
Amen. I'll baptize anybody that's ready in the name of Jesus Christ. We believe in baptism. We're strong on baptism. Amen. Praise God. We are the church of God. We are the assembly of God. Hallelujah. And whatever name you want to call us, that's all right. But I'm going to tell you, we are a Pentecostal church. I preached today over in Canton what a Pentecostal church is. The Pentecostal church is the church that was born on the day of Pentecost. Amen. Hey, it's okay. Amen. I'm not offended. Somebody said, Pentecost, what's that? Glad you asked. I'll be happy to tell you what that is. Amen. You never heard of it? Good. We don't have to deal with a bunch of negative concepts. Just come on in. I'll tell you what Pentecost is.
Amen.
Amen. Happy to. Praise the Lord. You know, I love having a system of beliefs that I don't have to defend. I think I said this a day or two ago, but I'm going to say it again. Somebody asked Charles Spurgeon. They said, "Do you defend the Word of God?" He said, "Yes. I defend the Word of God like you defend a lion. I let him out of the cage." You want to defend the lion, all you got to do is open the cage and let him out. You want to defend the Word of God, all you got to do is let it go. It'll defend itself. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let me get back to what we were saying here. He said, "You filled Jerusalem with your doctrine." Boy, did they take offense. They said it intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Well, it is upon them. Who crucified him? Who brought him before the council? Didn't they do it? Huh? They were all excited about crucifying Jesus. They did everything they could. They paid people to lie about it. They did everything possible to get him crucified. Of course, this man's blood's upon you. And Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "Well, I guess we'll just have to quit preaching then." Since you put it like that. No, sir. They said, "We ought to obey God rather than men." Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That was their response. Amen. I think that's still a good answer today. We ought to obey God rather than men. Verse 40 said, now this is after a little council they got together. Gamaliel had some really good counsel, and to him they agreed. And when they had called the apostles and beaten them. You got to, that's almost hidden in there. They didn't make a big deal out of it. They didn't go on three chapters talking about it. Huh? They didn't get on a circuit going from church to church talking about how bad they had it. It was just part of the gospel. It's just part of preaching, they thought. I want to just say this right here. If God calls you to preach, you need to preach. And you don't let anything stop you. I've had people sometimes, and I'm not, please don't anybody take this personal. It's not meant personal. But somebody said, "Oh, my throat's a little scratchy today. I don't think I can preach." How you gonna handle these fellows here? You think maybe they didn't make any excuses? If you got a voice, preach. "Well, I'm a little bit tired." Oh? If God said preach, you need to preach. I promise you one thing. You get under anointing, you'll forget about being tired. And you'll forget about a scratchy throat. Yeah. Amen. You'll forget about everything. You get under the anointing, all you can think about, man, woo, I feel the Holy Ghost. Amen. I love preaching. If you got a voice, preach. Yes. Billy Sunday had it good, didn't he? He said, "I hate the devil." He said, as long as I got a voice, he said, I'll preach him to death. He said, if I lose my voice, he said, I'll take my fist and I'll beat him to death. He said, if I don't lose my fist, I'll take my foot and I'll kick him to death. He said, if I lose my foot, he said, I'll bite him. I'll gum him. And he said, I'll just bite him to death. He said, if I lose my teeth, I'll gum him to death. He's bound to get it done, wasn't he? Yeah, you got to have that kind of attitude. You got to get you some backbone concerning the word of the Lord. The Bible said they beat them. They commanded them that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. Verse 41 said, and they departed from the presence of the council. Listen. Rejoicing that they had been counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily, everybody say daily, in the temple and in every house, they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. You see why the devil fears this? He cannot handle a preaching church. He doesn't mind a singing church. He doesn't mind a social church. He doesn't mind any other kind of church. But he does not like a preaching church. He fears it. Amen. Was it Mary of Scots? Forget which political figure it was. She said she's greater than anything. She feared the preaching of John Knox. She was a potentate. She was a sovereign. She was a queen. But she couldn't handle the preaching of John Knox. It caused her knees to knock together. Powerful preaching. Amen. Devil, it makes him nervous. It scares him. It frightens him. Amen. I love it. Did you see that again? Let me read that verse one more time. And daily, everybody say daily, in the temple. Now, do you know how to win more people to the Lord? If we can win people to the Lord weekly, or monthly, or yearly, how many more would we win if we did it daily? Amen. Praise the Lord. They had church every day. Kind of quiet, but they did. That's what it said, isn't it? Every day. Amen. I had somebody not too long ago. They said, oh, I miss those old time revivals. I remember we'd go every day without a break for months at a time. I said, I'll miss them too. We tried to have a few. And we had a different crowd every night. You want those old-fashioned revivals? You get that old-fashioned commitment. Huh? Oh, but we're tired today. You think they weren't tired then? Are we working any harder today than we worked then? That's right. Come on now. I know what I'm talking about. I've been at this thing for a while, and we've tried all kinds of things. We've tried lengthy revivals. We can't have them because we can't support them. That's right. Offerings are not there either. We're not going to invite somebody here if we can't take care of them. So if we can support a man for 3 days, he's going to preach for 3 days. If we can support a man for a week, then we'll ask him for a week. Is that fair enough? Is that fair enough? Amen. I'm saying that when we get the commitment level where it needs to be, then we'll have the kind of revival that we want. But let's don't talk about it unless we're willing to do it. Praise the Lord. Amen. Brother Grissom, you're getting bold. Well, that's the Holy Ghost. Don't blame me. You know what preaching's supposed to do? Preaching is supposed to comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable. So if you're afflicted, I want to comfort you. But if you're too comfortable, the Holy Ghost ought to stir you up. You're not supposed to be comfortable on the Pentecostal pew if you're not doing what you ought to be doing for God. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, I like that. Daily in the temple, in every house, they cease not to teach and preach Jesus. Look at the next verse, chapter 6, verse 1. And in those days, the number of the disciples were multiplied. That's a result of preaching. Somebody said, Brother Grissom, I know how to get more people to church. Amen. We can just bring in a big name singer, and we can get so many people in here. Good, they'll enjoy the music and go home unchanged. We can build a big gymnasium and put all kinds of stuff in it. We can have basketball courts and volleyball courts and bowling alleys, and we can get people in here. Yeah, they want to bowl and play basketball and play volleyball. Yeah, we have a good time. Amen. Praise God. You know the kind of revival I want? I want the kind of revival where people love the preaching of the Word. Amen. You hear me tonight. If you get born in the fire, the smoke will not do. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. I'm telling you, they preach in adversity. They preach doctrine. Amen. They preach the truth. The Bible said, love the truth. By the truth. The Scripture talks about the danger of not loving the truth. It said if we don't love the truth, God will send us strong delusion that we would believe a lie and be damned. That's what the Bible tells. Amen. It's dangerous not to love the truth. Amen. Now it's possible to fall in love with preaching and not love truth. It's possible to fall in love with preaching and not even recognize the truth. Folks, we don't need to just fall in love with a preacher or preaching. We need to fall in love with truth. Amen. And then whoever's preaching, doesn't matter who it is, if they're preaching truth, get with them. If they're not preaching truth, shut it down. Amen. It's important that we love truth. Amen. Truth is absolute. Anybody believe that tonight? Truth is absolute. Amen. Praise God. We need to, and there's a ring to truth. If you have the Spirit of truth, when you have the Holy Ghost, and you hear the truth, it bears witness to that truth. That's why you're standing up. That's why you're shouting. That's why you're saying amen and clapping your hands. Because the Spirit of truth bears witness to truth. But when somebody says something, the Spirit of truth detects if it's not right, it doesn't bear witness. And there'll be a little coldness that says, wait a minute. Amen. Thank God for truth. It's okay to check things out. It's okay to confirm what somebody says in the Word of the Lord. An elder taught me a valuable lesson. I remember coming out of a great service, man, one of my favorite preachers preached, and everybody's excited. Boy, we had church. We come out, and the elder asked me, he said, wasn't that good, huh? I said, yes, sir. He said, what did he say? I said, I don't know, but it sure was good. You know what can happen? You can fall in love with the preaching. And you can fall in love with the preacher and not know what he said. And sometimes you can get so caught up in preaching, you'll be hollering amen to things you don't even know what he's talking about. That's right. Amen. We got mega churches built on nothing. Not Bible. Because they don't preach Bible. Yeah, I thought that was pretty good. Brother Carey today was talking about a church, mega church, and they pray and do the sinner's prayer thing and tell everybody they're saved. And then they said, now you need to find you a Bible-believing church. In other words, I guess he's saying his is not a Bible-believing church. Amen. Praise the Lord. Don't you love it? Amen. Praise God. But fall in love with truth. Fall in love with truth. Amen. I'm going to quit here. I'm not through, but I'm going to stop here in just a minute. Amen. Praise God. Truth leads us to God, doesn't it? The Bible said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. I've heard people talk about strong preaching, and they said, oh, we don't preach like that anymore. We don't preach bondage. Amen. You preach the Word of God, it sets people free. I said, it sets people free. It's liberty. Amen. Praise God. You can strip stuff away from the gospel until all you got just a little superficial kiddie pool to play in. Amen. Or you can preach the whole counsel of God, and you can preach all of the truth, and you'll have waters to swim in. Amen. Praise God. Thank God for truth. Amen. I love truth. Truth's so powerful. Jesus said in John chapter 4, he talked about worship. Amen. This woman, this Samaritan that he met, got on the subject of worship. And the woman said, our fathers worship in this mountain, John 4:20. Our fathers worship in this mountain. You say that Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Now, Jesus didn't say that. Jews said that. Jesus said unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship not what you worship, you know not what. We know what we worship. For salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is. Everybody say, now is. When the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Everybody say spirit and truth. Not one or the other. Not exclusive. I know churches that they say, oh, we just around here, we excel in the Word. We're a Word church. And then you got another one that said, oh, boy, we excel in the Spirit over here. Amen. You ever seen a bird with one wing? You know what happens? Man, he's flying, isn't he? Woo! I'm flying, I'm flying, I'm flying. I got truth, I got truth. Amen. Other ones going, I got spirit, I got spirit, I got spirit. And they're going around in circles. You want to fly, you got to get spirit and truth. You get spirit and truth working together. Amen. And you can rise up and you can fly. It takes both. It's not either or. Spirit and truth. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm trying to bring it here to an end. I'm near there. Hang on just a second here. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 4 and 5, he said, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. Amen. In other words, he said it's not just the words I use. It's not oratory. Now, I admire people that have a gift of speech and can put words together and make them sound good. Some are almost poetical. They're so good at it. Amen. He said, that's not what I'm trying to do. He said, I don't want to entice you with my words and man's wisdom. He said, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Woo! Hallelujah. Amen. There was a preacher one time, he preached, and somebody came after service and they said, man, said, I sure did like that. He said, I'm so glad. He said, I heard so-and-so preach, and he thought, I could never preach like that. And he said, and I heard this other fellow, he was so good, I heard him preach, and I said, I could never preach like that. He said, but after I heard you preach tonight, I thought, if he can do it, anybody can. Amen. Hey, you know that's all right. That's okay. That's really what we want, isn't it? We don't want the people to think that in order to serve God, you got to have this great gift and be way up here and nobody can. I can't do that. We want to preach where people say, I can do that. 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 The idea of preaching is not to make the Word of God complicated. It's to make it simple. It's to bring it down where anybody can understand what you are saying. That's where the power is. We've all heard people preaching and thought, boy, it was good. I had no idea what he said, but it sure sounded good. My, that sounded good. Amen. But it's a whole lot better when somebody gets through and you can say, man, I got a hold of that. I understand that. Amen. Jesus excelled in big words, didn't he? He used things like fish and sheep and water. Big stuff. He talked in parables. He told stories that any child could understand. And they said, why do you do that? He said, because a child can understand it, but it'll confound the wise man. Amen. God wants His Word to be understood. Preacher, amen. When you get ready to preach, don't worry about how complicated. You just go ahead and make it simple where everybody can understand it. And God can work through the Word that people understand. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's what He wants. 1 Corinthians 1:18 said, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But under us which are saved, it's the power of God. Amen. Anybody say preaching? Preaching of the cross. Preaching of the cross. Preaching of the cross. Now let me just say, that's not just the cross of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, if any man would be my disciple, He said, let him take up his cross daily and follow me. Christianity is about the cross. Every person has a cross. And crosses are for one purpose. They're to die on. That's why the Apostle Paul said, I die daily. Amen. Every last one of us needs a cross. Amen. We need a place that we can put this flesh on. He also said, I mortify my members. You know what the word mortify means? It means put to death. Amen. When my body begins to cry out for things that are not good for it, I have to say, no, you can't have that. This will, this desire has to die. This temptation has to die. I need to nail that temptation to a cross. Amen. Your old tongue can get you in trouble. Amen. Your tongue gets to gossiping and saying things it should not say. You need to nail it to a cross. Your thoughts get to stray in places they don't need to be. You need to get your thoughts and nail them to a cross. Amen. Your hands get to doing things they ought not to be doing. Amen. You got to nail it to a cross. Your feet get to taking you places you know you're not supposed to be going. You got to nail it to a cross. This is about crucifying flesh. So that spirit can live. Amen. We can obey the Holy Ghost. And finally, 1 Corinthians 1:21, for after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. Everybody say they didn't know Him because they were wise. They did not know Him because they were wise. He said it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Amen. Preaching saves believers. Preaching saves believers. It makes me very, very nervous and very concerned when people come to church for worship or for music and leave before preaching. Music's great. Thank God for it. Amen. Worship is wonderful. Thank God for it. But it doesn't say that we're saved by worship. And it doesn't say that we're saved by singing. It says we're saved by preaching. Amen. It also concerns me that sometimes we can get really, really excited in the music. But we want to sleep through the preaching. Watch it, Brother Grissom. You're getting sneaky now. Praise the Lord. You know what? That's why I like to preach. Because it's hard to fall asleep when you're preaching. I've been on Matty Hill and sometimes it's kind of hard to stay awake. But if you're the one doing the yelling, you can stay awake. And one of the boys said, I want to be a preacher. His mom said, why? He said, if anybody's going to be yelling in church, it ought to be me. Praise the Lord. He didn't quite have it, but anyway. Bless the Lord. Let's stand together. Praise God. Thank God for preaching. Thank God for preaching. Amen. The one thing the devil fears in the church is preaching. Amen. Now, let me just say this in all fairness. Music and singing and worship has one purpose. And that's to get our spirit open and get our minds open and get our hearts open so God can fill us with His Word. That's what it's for. Music is not to fill you. Amen. It's just to lead you to Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's what it's all about. It's about getting your spirit open. You sing that song sometimes, get your mind on Jesus. That's what music does. It helps us to get our mind on Jesus. That's all it's about. It's about getting everything opened up so that God can fill us with His Word. What was it? Heaven and earth shall pass away, but My Word shall not pass away. This is what's going to keep you. It's the Word of the Lord. Amen. Get that down deep in your spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I read a book some years ago during the Vietnam War. There were some American officers and soldiers that were captured and put in a horrific prison in Hanoi. They developed a system of taps on the wall whereby they could communicate. And they'd tap out a message to one another, and that's how they could, they couldn't talk, but they could tap on the wall, and they had the system, and they could know what the other one was saying. And do you know what they talked about? Do you know where they found their strength? It wasn't in the latest scores, because they didn't know any scores. It wasn't about the latest athletic contest. It wasn't about the newest starlet or movie star or movie. It wasn't even about the latest song or heartthrob. You know what they found comfort in? Somebody would bring up an old hymn, hallelujah, and then they'd start writing it down, and they'd forget some part of it, and they'd tap it out and say, hey, you know such and such song, and they'd say, I know it, and then they'd all put it together until they got all the words of the song together. And then they started tapping out verses of Scripture. And then tap out what they knew, and somebody else would add to it until they put together what they called the Hanoi Bible. It wasn't a complete Bible, but it's what they knew. It's what they had hidden in their hearts. It's what was in their minds. And through those days of torture and torment and pressure and pain, it was those old hymns, and it was the Word of God that kept them going. That's what's going to keep you going. Amen. I said it before. Say it again. Trouble's coming. There's some trouble coming. Even to the United States of America, there's some trouble coming. Things that we put our confidence in are going to come crashing down. Systems of government, financial institutions, the things that were our security will come crashing down. I don't know when, but I really believe that it's going to happen. And I got a feeling it's not going to be long. Amen. But I tell you what, when the world's on fire, and when you don't know what you're going to do, amen, you can hide this word in your heart. And in the middle of the night, like Paul and Silas, you'll have a song in the night. The time of your trouble. Little verse of Scripture. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. I will never leave you nor forsake you. When you're brought before the council, he said, think not what you'll say. He said, I will give you in that hour what to say. Amen. This Bible is full of counsel. It's full of wisdom. It's full of encouragement. It's full of strength. Amen. It's full of power. It'll help you. That's what preaching's all about. That's why the devil fears preaching. He can steal your song. He can even steal your worship. You know what? You've seen it, haven't you? I've watched people come down and get such a blessing from the Lord, and then be hollering and screaming about the door. Get out on the parking lot and get in a scuffle. I've seen it. Anybody else ever seen that? You haven't? You hadn't been around church long, have you? Woo! I've seen people get it, and then they'll be fussing with husband and wife before they ever get out to the car. Huh? Come on, shake your head like this right here. You know what I'm talking about. Don't act like you never saw that. The devil can steal your worship, but he can't steal the word. Not if you'll hide it and love it, he can't get a hold of that. It's one thing that's going to keep you. Thank God for preaching. It's what the devil fears most. Amen. We're saved by preaching. Saved by preaching. Saved by preaching. Amen. I think it'd be good tonight if we'd just come gather around this altar for a little bit. I know we preach long. I'm sorry. Amen. Praise God. I'm trying not to, but it's like a fire shut up in my bones. Amen. But let's just gather around this altar and let's just give God thanks for His word. Would you do that?